Stardate 95.801. The Starship Enterprise has entered the Pilar solar system, a warm, comfortable realm with 12 planets revolving around a medium-sized yellow sun. Our mission is to check the colonists of Perinda 4, a new Federation-settled planet. According to Starbase's last report, the world is one of the richest, lushest, most peaceful settlements in the known universe. Mr. Spock, what's wrong? What is going on?
A Code 1 distress signal from the garden planet of Perinda 4, Captain. According to my sensors and calculations, they are on a collision course with an entire fleet of space debris.
What?
Meteors, Captain. A whole peck of them, all heading for the capital colony of Perinda City.
Mr. Sulu, please phase out the alarm signal. Mr. Spock, is this a natural occurrence?
Perinda 4 lies just inside an unusually busy space debris zone. Meteor activity here far exceeds that of Earth, but not to a dangerous degree.
Debris zone, meteor activity, not dangerous? Makes sense, man.
Mr. Scott, Earth scientists say that as many as 200 million visible meteors enter the planet's atmosphere every day. Air friction heats them to approximately 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and they burn up at an altitude of 30 to 50 miles. That is why they are called meteors. Pieces of space debris that hit the Earth's surface are called meteorites.
Please delay the lecture if you would, Mr. Spock. What is happening on Perinda 4?
According to my findings, Captain, Perinda 4 is the target for a huge amount of meteors which are about to become meteorites.
Mr. Chekhov, establish visual contact. Communications Officer Uhura, establish planet-side communication. Mr. Sulu, sound red alert. Mr. Spock, how long before the meteorites hit?
8 seconds, Captain. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
The Enterprise crew watch in numb horror as the capital city is devastated on their view screens. The huge hunks of space rock grew so hot they glow with a brilliant white and orange light before smashing into the tiny buildings on the planet, sending sweeping clouds of debris flying everywhere. The pounding deadly rain continued for 30 frightening seconds, then ceased as quickly as it had started. But Perinda City was no more.
Enterprise? Starship Enterprise, please come in. This is Perinda City calling. Enterprise, please.
The meteors nearly destroyed the planet's communication antenna. I'm losing the signal.
Perinda 4, this is James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. Are you all right? What happened? Where are you?
Madman, threat, destroyed the city in underground shell. Please help us. Great danger.
I'm sorry, Captain. I could not maintain the communications link.
It's all right, Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock, those meteorites have destroyed a city it took honest, hardworking Federation colonists years to build.
I can understand the great loss, Captain, but there is no need to generate unnecessary emotion. The question is, what do we do about it now?
What we do, Mr. Spock, is proceed with caution. The message said something about a madman and a threat.
Captain, you can't mean to say we're just going to sit here and do nothing?
Indeed not, Engineer. But it will do no one any good to rush off into a possible trap. Scotty, you monitor us with the Enterprise's sensors. Sulu, Chekhov, keep the phaser banks and photon torpedoes armed and ready. Uhura, you lock the ship's beams with my communicator. Mr. Spock, you come with me to the transporter room. We're beaming down to Perinda 4.
The sight that assailed Captain Kirk's eyes when he and his first mate materialized on the planet filled his heart with sorrow. The once proud, once beautiful capital city lay about their feet in dust and rubble. Even as they watched the mournful winds creating dark piles of dirt everywhere, the dazed Perinda populace started stumbling out of their underground shelters.
Jim, thank heaven you're here.
Tulin Yorker. How did this happen?
As Federation-appointed governor of the settlement, I knew there would be troubles, but not this, not this.
Try to keep your emotions in check, Governor Yorker. Do you know why these exceptionally large meteorites struck so exactly?
A madman threatened us with complete destruction unless we evacuated this planet.
But that's absurd. How could anything, let alone one man, control a massive group of meteors and cause them to strike at one place at one time?
I don't know, I tell you. All I know is that starting just a few weeks ago, we received the first of many threats over our communicators. Threats to leave this planet forever or die.
I do not like it. The captain and Mr. Spock on the planet alone. It could mean trouble. I'll tell you that, Doctor.
Now, don't worry, Scotty. Our phasers are locked on target. The transporter room is tracking their every move, and Lieutenant Uhura is in constant communications.
Aye, I know all that, Doctor, but it doesn't set my mind at ease. Lieutenant Uhura, any message yet?
There is a signal coming in, Mr. Scott.
The captain?
No, sir. As amazing as this may seem, the signal is coming from the middle of a meteor swarm outside the planet's atmosphere.
But that can't be. Rocks can't talk.
I'm sorry, Mr. Scott, but that is what my readings say.
Establish contact, Lieutenant. Let's see what this rock has to say.
And leave your orbit around Perinda 4, or risk total destruction. I will not warn you again. This is not a joke. You must leave this area of space and never come back, or else you will all be dashed into a million pieces. You hear me? This is your only warning. Leave or die.
Dr. McCoy, quickly, take the command chair. Lieutenant Uhura, pinpoint the source of this message.
Scotty, where are you going?
My good doctor, I do believe we stumbled on the true cause of the Perinda 4 attack. If we can just trace this signal, we'll know where to find the men responsible for all the destruction.
But, Mr. Scott, my equipment is not sophisticated enough to trace the cause.
I know, woman, but I know where there's some equipment that is.
Where, Scotty, where?
In my engineering room, doctor. I'm going there as fast as the ship's elevator can take me. Sit tight, my fellows. I'm going to find out who's behind this meteor attack.
The able engineer was as good as his word. Within minutes of entering his incredibly complex engineering section, filled with the most advanced machinery the universe had ever seen, the madman's signal was traced. As soon as they were given the news, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock joined their Scottish friend on board an Enterprise shuttlecraft, quickly heading for the source of the threats. Their destination, a huge meteor in the center of a huge meteor swarm just outside Perinda 4's atmosphere.
You mean to say that a maniac has been able to guide swarms of meteors like trained pets, and he lives on a meteor himself?
Not on a meteor, Captain. In a meteor.
Aye, Captain. I discovered that the signal came from under this gigantic meteor surface. He must have hollowed it out somehow and set up an orbit in Homestead.
Orbiting?
Yes, Captain. Meteors, as you know, travel in circular orbits around the sun like planets do. To make them leave their path would take incredible power.
Scotty, could you tell if there is any advanced machinery inside the meteor along with this madman?
Ah, no, Captain. The meteors are made up of many minerals mixed with iron, copper, and sulfur. I couldn't tell what was inside the meteor and what was just rock.
Very well, Mr. Scott, but please pay a little more attention to the shuttle's flying controls. One mistake and we will be smashed into dust.
Now, don't you go worrying, Mr. Spock. I was flying these little darlings when you were but a wee lad. No meteor will ever get the best of Montgomery, Scott.
Once more, the noble engineer proved more than able. In moments, the trio found themselves safely landed on the surface of the hollow meteor. But just as they were about to put on spacesuits to investigate the airless globe, a soft but sinister voice came over their communicators.
Welcome to Terranius, gentlemen. Welcome to my planet. No need to wear bulky spacesuits. I will simply guide your craft into my underground realm where there is plenty of air to spare. Plenty of air. Please sit down, my uninvited prisoners. I mean, visitors. You shall not find me a dull host.
Ach, man, he knew we were coming all along. What should we do, Captain?
Take it easy, Scotty. There's nothing to do. We'll see what this man has on his mind. But remember, the Enterprise's weaponry is trained on this meteor. One false move and we can blow it into eternity.
Somehow, Captain, that does not make me feel safe. After all, we too are on this meteor.
What the? The entire shuttle is moving and the engine isn't even on.
Mr. Spock, can you locate any equipment that might be moving us on your sensors?
No, Captain. It seems that a force field has picked up our ship as if it were a feather and is bringing it into a cave on the meteor's surface.
I can't fight it, Captain. I can't control the ship.
But if no equipment or machinery is guiding us, how is this being done? What force could control a Federation shuttle as if it were a toy?
I am that force, Captain Kirk. I can read your minds. I can control your puny ship. I can do anything. Prepare to meet your destiny, gentlemen.
We've stopped.
It seems as if we have arrived, Captain.
Yes. Open the hatch, Mr. Scott. Let's see what our destiny looks like.
Greetings, Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, and Engineering Officer Scott. I am Terranius, ruler of this world, and soon to be Emperor of all space.
Emperor? Why, you little bald runt of a withered old weasel. You have a lot to answer to, man, about destroying a Federation outpost on Perinda 4.
Silence! You do not understand. No one understands that I deserve to rule. I have the power.
Indeed. And what exactly is this power, may I ask?
The power to move things with my mind, Mr. Spock. You are half Vulcan. You may have the intelligence to understand. I can control objects with just my powerful thoughts. I can bend anyone's will to my own. I can rule everyone. I deserve to rule everyone.
Psychic power, Captain. Mental ability so great it has unbalanced his mind. He is vastly powerful, but he is also vastly dangerous.
Tyrannius, I agree that anyone with such magnificent powers as yours should rule. But why not just make the people of Perinda IV leave with your mental strength? Why make the meteors fall?
Too many people, Captain Kirk. I could not control them all, even with my incredible abilities. So I had to drive them out.
I see, oh great Tyrannius. Well, we can take care of that together. Just come back to the Enterprise with us and we can begin your rightful rule.
Captain, have you lost your mind? Turn Perinda IV over to this daffy maniac? I won't let you do it! I won't!
In a rage, Scotty lunges at Tyrannius.
No, Mr. Scott, the captain was just trying...
Look out, Scotty. He's breaking away from you.
Aha! Try to capture me, will you? I decree all movement stop! You see? My incredible brain has locked your muscles and imprisoned your minds. You cannot move, any of you. You cannot think. You only know what I tell you, and you shall pay for your stupidity. Mr. Scott, you will take this shuttle, go back to your ship, enter your engine room, and blow it up. You will destroy the Enterprise totally. Do you understand?
I understand.
Go then. Now, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, my motionless friends, what shall I do with you? Shall I have you dance while your engineer sabotages your ship? Or should I have you fight each other while your entire crew is destroyed in a space fireball? Rest assured that I will not eliminate you until the Enterprise is totally demolished.
But Tyrannius had not reckoned with the full capabilities of Spock's Vulcan mind.
I have Tyrannius in the Vulcan mind lock, Captain. While you know I have used it many times before to read minds, I could also adapt it to lock minds.
Thank the stars for your Vulcan abilities, Spock.
This is no time for emotional outbursts, if I may say so. Might I remind you that Mr. Scott is on his way to destroy the Enterprise?
By heavens, that's right! Starship Enterprise, come in, please. This is Captain Kirk. Come in. Lieutenant Uhura, can you read me? Enterprise! Mr. Spock, the other meteors are jamming my communicator. I know you're locking Tyrannius' mind, but can you control it as well?
Interesting thought, Captain. You mean guide the meteors through Tyrannius' mind?
That's exactly what I mean. If we can get close enough to the ship, I can make contact and stop Scotty.
I'm not sure, Captain. I've never tried to control a man's mind before. It will be painful, but I will try.
You're doing it, Spock. The meteors are moving.
Must hurry, Captain. Incredible strain. Terrific pain.
Hold on, Spock. We're almost in range. You can do it, Spock. Just a few seconds more. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
Enterprise, do you read me? Enterprise, come in.
Captain, is that you?
Uhura, am I ever glad to hear your voice. Lock into this signal and beam us aboard immediately. And notify security that they must stop Engineer Scott at all costs. At all costs.
In seconds, Captain Kirk and Spock are back on the Enterprise.
Security Officer Tanker, this is Captain Kirk in the transporter room. We have an unconscious prisoner with us. Have you located Mr. Scott?
He's been seen in the engine room, Captain. We're on our way now.
We'll meet you there. Kirk, out. Quickly, Spock, follow me. There isn't a moment to lose. Where is he?
Up there on the second level, Captain. And he has a dilithium crystal. If he drops that into the engine, we're all goners.
Spock, try to distract him while I climb up there.
No, Captain. Scotty's out of control. You'll be killed.
I must try.
Excuse me, Mr. Scott, but don't you think that the total destruction of the ship is a bit illogical?
I must blow up ship.
He's hesitating. Why doesn't he just get it over with?
If I were you, Mr. Tanker, I would be glad he is hesitating. The captain has almost reached him.
I must destroy...
Got you.
Fine work, Captain. I will drain him of his hypnotic commands now.
Where am I?
You're all right now, Engineer. Everything's all right.
I remember.
I didn't do it, Captain. I remember now, I couldn't bring myself to destroy this beautiful ship.
Spoken like a true engineer, Mr. Scott. You're a credit to your kind. You're not just a good Scott, you're a great Scott.
Oh, Captain, now really.